Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
The urgency went up, and, you know, the crowd got into it. We got some deflections. We got out in transition.
This is a playoff week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Red Tail Golf Center Spring Tent Sale. Friday, April 20th through Sunday the 22nd. Up to 50% off everything golf. Visit golfredtail.com for more details.
Lillard back on the floor. Lillard feeding Nurkic down low. Fouled in the basket. Chance at a three-point play. A dime from Dame. And Nurkic goes to the free throw line.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Eat but get bucket. That's he, man.
The Fan.
Two in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Der Johnson in with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Hope your day is going well. I am mentally prepared for a Blazer loss, and I won't care because the sun is out.
That about sums it up, right? Yeah. Even if they lose tonight, the only thing I'm going to advise people to do, they fall into a 3-0 hole, just go look at the next 10-day weather forecast.
Right.
And that'll pull you right out of it, I think.
Well, you know, you have mentioned this before, and I really hope you didn't jinx us.
I might have. I might reverse dirt this thing.
You might have dirted the line. I hope this is the turning point, because you had a really astute observation. Real original thought. I don't know if I could go back to the other weather. If we have like a 6-7 days in a row of this sunshine and 65 to 70, I don't know if I can handle emotionally going back to what it was in the 40s and 50s and rain.
This is it. This has to be it. Weather gods, don't screw us over. I mowed the lawn last night when I got home, or yesterday afternoon when I got home. And then I started putting my patio furniture out. I uncovered the barbecue.
That is a risky move, my man.
Because you've got to put the patio furniture away, you know, put it to the side, make sure it's not getting rained on, all that stuff. It's all set up. My table's ready to go. Patio is decked out and in summer mode right now. And if I again have to move it out of the way or put the cushions back into the house, I'm going to be depressed.
Well, I'm already excited because I'm watching the Blazer game tonight at my brother-in-law's house. And he's got this sick awning that he put in his backyard. It's perfect. Like, the sun comes in just perfect spots. And then he's got the barbecue right by the sliding door with the big screen right inside. So we're going to watch the game there. And my father-in-law, I mean, I easily have the best in-laws you could ask for.
Humble brag.
People that complain about in-laws, I really genuinely feel sorry for you because my in-laws are so awesome. My father-in-law comes home yesterday, a big pack of ribeye steaks from Costco.
He's ready to go.
And he goes, here you go. He doesn't even want to eat them. He just buys them for us.
You kidding me?
I said, God, I love you.
That, I'm not going to lie, Springer, that sounds like a pretty solid Thursday evening.
Yeah,
watching the game
stoked.
Outside and grilling while you're doing it. Tomorrow, we're already making plans just after we get off just to go stand by the river for like an hour. It's like just stand outside and stare into the water for a little bit.
Well, I found Oregon Live conveniently putting up a list of best 45 outdoor restaurant bar areas in
ready
preparation.
To go.
So, yeah.
Well, number one is always going to be, you know, my house. I'm always going to vote that number one. But it's nice to have those lists out.
Well, I can't use my front deck until my guys finish painting the siding. So I'm hoping with the dry weather that the dudes can get out there. All I got to do is paint the siding at this point.
Yeah, and it'll speed it up a little bit.
And I get my, I can have my front deck back.
Yeah, somebody texting, don't you guys know January? You guys are from here. I know. I am wholeheartedly concerned we will run into rain again.
Oh, it's going to happen. We live in Portland.
I just hope that it doesn't. You know, you realize when I was younger, having lived here, there was a little bit, and this might just be me, I took a lot of pride in the rain, and I need more of this in my life
now. Yeah, you humble brag it when you get, especially when you get Californians that move up here in the droves, and then they complain about it, and you kind of want to wear it as a badge of honor.
Like I don't own an umbrella.
Like, screw you. You know what? The rain's all right. That's why everything's green in the summer. That's why we have such a beautiful climate for like 5 months out of the year. But then internally, I think we all agree with them. Like, yeah, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, you guys probably have better weather down there
most of the year.
What was it? The end of January, beginning of February, somewhere in February, we got teased. It was like 60 for a weekend, and we all got out and played golf, or most of us got out and played golf or something. And I was like, okay, let's go. And then March was blah.
That Thursday or Friday that you were gone for the Masters week, we got like a 70, or maybe even Saturday, we had like a 70, 75 degree day here. And I was like, this is unreal. This is summer weather. And then that quickly evaporated and back came the rain.
It went right out the window.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all.
I'm already making plans to start planting the garden this weekend. Not going to lie. It could be a little risky. I did it too early last year, and I planted everything, and then like the week after I planted, we had a hailstorm for the weekend, and everything froze, and it just was a disaster. Set me back a little bit in my my farmer's almanac, but I'm thinking about rolling the dice on Sunday.
Do you read the farmer's almanac?
I do not, but I kind of would like to.
So I don't know if people are going to get, because you know some people get upset about weird things. I actually go to Home Depot every year. And I find the farmer's almanac.
You pick it up?
No. I read what our weather forecast is, and then I put it back down. And I never buy it.
Oh, come on, man. They grind all year to put that thing out, and you just pick it up and put it back?
Do they grind all year to do that?
I have no clue how they put together a farmer's almanac.
I don't either, but I'm very thankful because I tend to turn and see what they're forecasting for the year for us.
It'd be a fun little summer segment. Get somebody on from the farmer's almanac. How does this work?
I think in theory that would be a fun segment, and then it would happen and people would be falling asleep.
How many models do you study to put together a farmer's almanac?
That segment would turn into the dinosaur guy from Mrs. Doubtfire. Back in the day, the dinosaurs were wrong.
Yeah, I am. I'm crossing my fingers, man. I hope I didn't reverse jinx it, but the next 10 days are looking pretty solid.
You need to plant vegetables that don't take anything. Like, it can't get ruined.
Yeah,
like, I'm
lettuce,
doing green onions.
Yeah,
green
onions are easy. Lettuce is pretty solid. It takes a lot to ruin on some lettuce. I might hold off on like the hot peppers. Got to get the hot peppers going. You got to plan this whole thing out, man.
All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's beautiful radio show.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
That's right. What's on Tap brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
Somebody asking if we changed the name of the show to Uncle Bob's Gardening Program. Indeed, we have. Welcome in. Coming up next, we'll talk about green onions.
Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Bob Ross is going to hop on and show us how he painted those mountains.
Speaking of that, I don't know what, there was an ESPN Major League broadcast, I think it was last week, I just randomly caught it. And so they had the Adam Wainwright. They were talking to him. They put the headsets on him in the Cardinals bullpen. And he's just started talking about this huge garden that he had and Farmer Bob for like 20 minutes. And the Cardinals were having a rally. And he's like, I'm talking plants for the next. I'm talking plants until. It was fantastic. Kirkchin was in. It was hilarious.
Adam, you working on that curveball?
No, but I'm working on those radishes.
I will go see if I can find a chunk of that somewhere before the end of the show.
All right, that'll be fun. We got a good one today. Blazers game 3. Real simple question. Have you given up hope for the Blazers? 55305. We'll talk about that.
Yes. Next segment. Yes.
Wow. Sheesh. Tell me your opinion, huh? A little more firmly. Good God. We'll get to that. We'll get to some NBA playoffs. Interesting thing happened last night. LeBron James was asked about death. A lot of people got upset about that one, but LeBron defended the question and the reporter. Popovich is not going to be coaching today.
He's not. He's taking game 3, understandably so.
If he takes game 4 off, understandably so.
Puts it all into perspective.
It's always interesting how people handle situations like that. And then Ben Simmons is getting a lot of love. Worries me a little bit as a basketball fan.
We will get to some NFL as one analyst is resurfacing, and he is making a bold claim that this quarterback right now is better than an all-time great who came into the draft, but nobody is sharing that sentiment. So we get to that. Baker Mayfield had a pretty funny story involving his draft situation. We'll give that to you. We'll also ask who has the most pressure on them of the four quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson's in it, but he's also kind of not. Of the four quarterbacks, the big ones, who has the most pressure on them coming into the league? I'd be stunned if anybody voted outside of Josh Rosen.
That seems to be the number one vote getter. And there's also another controversy around Baker Mayfield that just makes me chuckle.
Okay.
He just can't avoid him.
At 1:30, I have no idea how this is going to go, but at 1:30, we're going to have a guest in studio, a magician slash comedian who's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club named Piff the Magic Dragon.
He's got a dog named Mr. Piffles, and we're all crossing our fingers that Mr. Piffles makes an appearance in the studio.
I'd be quite upset with him if Mr. Piffles is not in town or in studio with us.
And I kind of hope he's in costume, because he wears like a dragon costume during his sets.
Yeah, he was on America's Got Talent. He was a semifinalist.
So he better, A, bring the costume, and B, bring the dog.
So he will join us in studio at 1:30. And then at crunch time, we've got to get to a story for you parents out there. You high school parents? This is a little bit alarming what potentially could be looming in high school football. And we'll explain more when we get to that. Of course, we've got Swag's Plums, and we're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. So that's what's coming. That's what's on tap for today's show. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday, your sunny Thursday afternoon. We will start with the Blazers. Have you given up hope that they can come back in this series? 55305. We'll go there next. Dirt and Sprague with you on the Fan. 12:17 on the Fan. Welcome back in. Game number trace for the Blazers-Pelicans back in the Big Easy. Pelicans up 2-0. And I know game two wasn't pretty. Game one was frustrating and surprising. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody out there with hope that they can still come back in this series? I know 2-0 is pretty statistically and historically defeating.
Well, especially when you lose the first two at home. There are teams that have overcome it losing two on the road, and then you come back and you have games at your home floor.
But this almost feels like a, outside of the diehard, crazy diehard people, this feels like a consensus the series is done.
Well, it's because you understand math and you understand everything that's working against you. Now, one positive is New Orleans is not a great home court advantage, and you've highlighted that throughout this entire series, and I believe as of yesterday, maybe even today, there are still tickets available if you want to go to game three in New Orleans tonight. So it's not going to be a really tough place for them to play, considering what the alternatives were in the playoffs. I say that they're done mainly for my own sanity. We went into this series with expectations. We tried to caution folks that it wasn't going to be a cakewalk against New Orleans because New Orleans is a good basketball team. But I did expect Portland to win this series. We all did, whether it was in seven games, I think you guys picked it, or six games like I picked it. And I believe most Blazer fans had that opinion. They're going to win this series. So when you then fall into an 0-2 hole, it sucks even more because you had the expectation that went along with it. So that's just where I'm at mentally. I'm not expecting anything positive to happen from here on out. Would I be shocked if they won the game tonight? Not at all. You know, they played terrible in game one, and they had a chance to win it at the end. Damian Lillard was awful in game two. CJ didn't do a whole lot in game two, and Nurkic didn't really show up, and you still had a chance to win game two. So it's not like they've been blown out in the first two games of the series, so I wouldn't be shocked if they won.
Right.
I'm just done expecting anything positive to come with this team in the playoffs.
Well, in game one, they were 5.5-point favorites. That jumped up a point in game two, and now in game three, the Pelicans are only 3.5-point favorites. So here is the thing about this series. I mean, obviously, if you told me who would you think is going to win, I'd probably pick Pelicans, obviously. But I think the point you just brought up is interesting. It's not like they've lost by 15 to 20 points. They have just not gotten some of the loose balls. New Orleans has.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans has schematically been more prepared than them. And Damian Lillard can't buy a bucket right now, even when he is open or if he's being double teamed. They're really struggling in some regard. But what's the number that Damian Lillard has to hit for you where you go, oh, yeah, I think they're going to win game three?
30 points.
So if he has 30 points tonight, you think they should walk away with a win?
I do. That's what they haven't had yet in this series is you look at game one, it was a monster performance from Anthony Davis. His stat line was crazy. And in game two, it was Jrue Holiday. They've had a star player step up and carry the team. You get impact from other guys. Rondo's been great. Mirotić has knocked down some big threes. Bench scoring, Ian Clark knocked down some shots in game one. But their whole effort was started by a superstar in game one and a star in game two. And Portland has not had one of those games yet.
Yeah, I think the style in which New Orleans has played Portland is obviously frustrating them. You heard it from Damian Lillard post-game in two. I think Quick asked him, and I just feel frustrated right now because he understands what the stage is. He's been on that stage. He's had big moments. But he also, remember his emotions last year when he got swept?
Mm-hmm.
You were there. You were sitting five feet from him.
He was pissed.
You'd never seen him that dejected and angry. And I think he's feeling a lot of that. So maybe the way New Orleans has played will put some of their players in a mental state that is not ready to compete. But I'm not ready to completely give up hope that they can maybe send this back to Portland. Not that they win the series. That seems like a pretty tall order right now. But to give them a shot to win a game and not get swept. And, you know, as people have pointed out, and it's so cliche, but in the NBA and in sports in general, it's so true. You do have to take it one game at a time. Game one didn't go your way, and you were down to the wire in that one. Game two did not go your way. They made they made the plays necessary to win that ball game, and you didn't. And now you're an 0-2 hole. It's not 3-0. And I think that's the important thing for everybody to remember here. If it's 3-0, this series is done. I'm not even spending very much energy talking about this game tonight.
No, game four will be meaningless.
Right, game four would be done. And if they won game four, they're done in five. They're not coming back from 3-0. They're down 2-0. And with that possibility of going on the road and maybe just having one great game from Damian Lillard, I'm not completely ready to be there yet. There's a big part of me that says New Orleans continues to do what they do. They are going to be up 3-0 after tonight. But there's that other side of me that's watched a lot of basketball to quickly just, instead of just dismissing a great player like Damian Lillard, saying, all right, I'm going to sit down and give this a chance one more time.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. I'm going to give it one more go tonight. And if you lose, as you mentioned, nobody in the NBA has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. So there's no point in even talking about that. You know, we have one of our P1s, Evan, say Blazers always seem to play better when people don't expect anything from them.
I mean, that's kind of
There is some validity to that. They started the year with big expectations, and they stumbled out of the gate. And then we all ridiculed them and said, this team sucks. Let's get rid of guys. And then they went on a 13-game winning streak. So it would be very Blazers of them to come out and find a way to win this game. And it's going to have to come from Dame and CJ. That's just where this whole thing is going to start. If you get a performance like you did in game one and game two out of your two stars, you don't stand a chance to win in the playoffs. You just don't have enough help around the roster. You go back to game two where you had a good night from Aminu. You had a great night from Harkless off the bench. You had Collins with a career night with 12 points in 22 minutes, led all bench scores. You got stuff from your role players, but you didn't get anything from your two superstars, and Nurkic was a no-show. And you can't have that equation in the playoffs. But the optimism in me says, play the law of averages. I tried to play it after game one, and it burned me because I said, I don't think Damian Lillard can have back-to-back games like this, especially on this stage, a guy who loves to perform in moments like this. And he did. He was bad in game two. So if you want to be optimistic, you play the law averages again. Damian Lillard is a phenomenal NBA player. He's going to finish in the top five in the MVP vote this year, deservingly so for what
probably
he did.
Probably going to get first team in the NBA.
Because of what he did in the regular season, deservingly so. Are you willing to gamble on him having three straight bad nights and being suffocated defensively for three consecutive games, or does he bust out of it? It's tough because of how good they are defensively, because of the double and triple teams that they throw at him, but he's still going to have opportunities with open looks. Those have not fallen for him.
And the other thing, too, you know, when game one ended and some people walked away with the conclusion that, hey, they came back, they should have won that ball game. I did not feel that way. I thought they had an incredible rally, but New Orleans won the game, and they should have won the game the way that they played them most of it. And then in game two, going into that, I remember having people go, oh, well, yeah, easy response here. Ah, they just correct a couple things. That worried me because I thought other players on the Pelicans could play a little better. And you know what? Going into game three, I still kind of feel that way. I still think there are guys on this Pelican team that can play better. I think Anthony Davis can go get you another 30-point game.
Anthony Davis had 22 points in game two.
Right. I think Jrue Holiday could probably put up 25 to 30 points. I think Etuan Moore could randomly have 18 points.
Sure.
Darius Miller could hit four threes.
He knocked down two in game two.
Right. They have Ian Clark could maybe go for 15. They have guys on this team. Some have had big games. Others have really not done a ton yet. And so now you're playing at home. And I don't think the Pelicans, at least this is how I kind of view them. They don't strike me as a group that goes to New Orleans feeling all fat and happy. Ah, we did it. We won the first two. Mm-hmm. I think that group, and I can see it in the way that they play, especially Drew Holiday, they've got a lot of fight in them where I think they get on that plane and they head to the Big Easy and they're thinking it's closeout time. We're not joking around. We're not messing around. We want more. We're not just happy with a first win. Remember Anthony Davis got his first playoff win and everyone's like, hey, it's first playoff win. I loved his reaction. Yeah, that's great and all, but I'm not just here to get a first playoff win. I want to be in the playoffs. Right. I want to go past the first round. I think that's the mentality of the whole team. And so even if I give a slight hope to Portland to come out, because again, games one and two were not blowouts, and Damian Lillard could get his shot going in New Orleans, I don't look at New Orleans and say, oh, the Pelicans are going to kind of just feel good about being 2-0. I think they're going for blood. I think they are going for the kill tonight to go up 3-0. So it's no doubt about it to me. It's going to be a huge fight for them to try to get a win in this series.
Yeah, and I think the driving force behind that is their leader on the floor, and it's Rondo. I mean, playoff Rondo is a real thing. The numbers, when you look at it, he is points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, steals per game, all up from where they were in the regular season to his postseason numbers. This stat blew me away. Most playoff games in the history of the NBA with at least 15 assists. The only guys with more than Rondo are John Stockton and Magic Johnson. He, with his 17 assists in game one, he tied Steve Nash. He now has 11 games in the playoffs with 15 or more assists. And how about the stat that he has not lost a playoff game since 2015? There are some teams you worry about. You get 2-0, you're fat and happy. Remember the Blazers, correct me if I'm wrong, when they were up 2-0 on Houston, I believe they came home and lost game three, and then they won game four.
And they lost five.
And then they came back and won. So they, you know, they slipped a little bit, and the series eventually ended up going to six games. When you have a guy like Rondo, who's a leader on the floor, I don't see him allowing the team to go to that mental state.
Yeah, somebody says, being down 2-0, I feel like the pressure's off. Win game three, gain some momentum into the rest of the series. That very well may, hey, that's a possibility.
Sure, you can have momentum back on your side if you win tonight.
Again, I understand why so many people are so surprised and just kind of dumbfounded by the way the series unfolded compared to what they expected. And they're expecting a New Orleans win, maybe a sweep. But I don't get the whole notion of you completely write off a player as great as Damian Lillard and this team. And I've seen it too many times in this league. I think we've seen it too many times in sports in general. Right when you think, oh, they're done, the other team responds. What was that series last year with Cleveland? The Cleveland and Yankee series.
Yeah.
Everybody.
They were 2-0. It was done. Yeah.
Everybody. Oh, that series is done. Yankees come back. They go to the ALCS and they eventually lose to the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. So we just see this in sports too many times for me to really proclaim this thing is done. The matchup is difficult. I thought that going into the series, and clearly New Orleans has the advantage. But you just need Damian Lillard to have one great night and CJ McCollum to just be CJ McCollum.
Well, and you're hoping Mo Harkless is healthy too and can give you some good numbers in the starting line.
Well, I imagine, yeah, the rotation's going to be a little bit different now. I know he's given you good moments, but aren't most of us kind of just hoping that Evan Turner doesn't play tonight?
Absolutely.
Give other people more minutes and see what they can do. Spread the floor. You got other shooters that are better than Evan Turner out there. Pat Connaughton on the floor. I'd rather have him be open for three than Evan Turner.
Sure, maybe Napier's back in the rotation tonight.
Whatever it is, just open it up and see what you can do in game three. A lot of texts, a lot of people feeling a couple different ways about this. So we'll read some of those thoughts, and then we'll get to Ben Simmons. A lot of people proclaiming Ben Simmons and the 76ers, even though they just lost game two in Philadelphia. So we'll talk more NBA playoffs. Yeah, a lot of the feelings at the fan text line at 55305 are just basically that the Blazers and Damian Lillard cannot overcome what New Orleans has thrown at them. There were little changes that were made to free up Damian Lillard. Zach Lowe wrote about that yet again in a piece on ESPN.com. And he used video examples as just, you know, little back cuts, little screens here and there to try to free up Damian Lillard. And then even in some sets, if Lillard wasn't free, Stotts had designed little things to tweak to try to get other guys open shots. And sometimes they made them, and other times they didn't look like they were very organized or understood what the set was supposed to be. And we'll see if that's going to work for them in game three. But there are a lot of people that are feeling like this series is done
being down 2-0.
Well, you just understand it because of everything that's now stacked against you. You need to win basically 4 of 5 to go on to win this series. And it just doesn't happen very often in the NBA. It will be interesting if they find a way to win tonight, how much different the feeling is in this city and with the fan base and just from our audience tomorrow. Because if you win, you make the series 2-1, and then you go back to the ridiculous cliche that's true of one game at a time. Because if you can win game 3, all the focus goes to game 4 and you have a chance to ultimately tie this thing up. But I've reached a point where the expectation stuff, I think, is what kills fan bases' emotions. Because when you go in thinking one thing and it doesn't end up happening, that's when you're really disappointed. Like last year when they got bounced in the first round by Golden State, nobody cared or batted an eye.
Nobody
Why?
Was surprised by
because
that.
Because we knew they were going to get smoked and they had no chance to win that series. They gave you a glimmer of hope in the first half of game 3. Outside of that, they were kind of dominated. I think they
that
were.
Game 1 was kind of
they
fun.
They were close in game 1. Dame and CJ went lights out. Game 2, I believe they got blown out. Then they gave you a glimmer of hope in game 3. And then nobody showed up other than Dame in game 4. But there was no emotional strain on that because you didn't expect anything. That's where this year's a little bit different. I think if you win tonight, the emotions maybe go back and people are willing to believe again.
What is somebody like you? Because I think you and I, we might be a little different in the way we view this series. What does somebody like you say tomorrow on a Friday show if the Blazers were to somehow win by 15? You know, for all the great defense New Orleans, let's just, it's a hypothetical,
okay,
right?
Dame goes off, CJ
Dame goes
off.
For 35, yeah. CJ gives you 26, Zach gives you 10, Nurkic plays decently, Aminu gives you 4 threes, and Harkless is Harkless. And they win by double digits. What are you saying tomorrow?
I'm still not willing to completely buy back in because you need to even up the series and you need to get home court advantage back on your side. And so if you win tomorrow, at least the optimism ticks up just a tad. But I'm not willing to go there because you can lose game 4 and you're down 3-1 in the series. And is anybody going to pick them to win 3 straight when they're down 3-1 if you lose 3 of the first 4 games of the series? So I'm totally waiting for Saturday. Now, it starts tonight because if you lose tonight, you're officially done.
Oh, the series is over.
But if you win tonight, I'm not willing to go there mentally until I watch game 4 on Saturday and you show me that you can duplicate that performance and it wasn't a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, it really does boil down to you got to win 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And against a team that's played you so tough defensively and given you so many problems, that's a tough ask.
Well, and you have to avoid bad quarters. That's what Portland has had. I mean, you go back to the first half of game 1, I believe they scored, 18 points and 18 points
quarters, yeah.
In each of those first two quarters. And then you go into game 2 where you actually were playing pretty good in the first half. They had 23 points in the first quarter, which was an uptick of where they were in game 1. The Blazers scored 36 points in the second quarter of game 2. 36. They outscored them 36-29 in that quarter, and they took the lead into the half. Then what happened? You came out, for whatever reason, sleepwalking in the third quarter, and you were outscored 33-19, and then you tied them up 24-24 in the fourth quarter. It was just simply that start to the second half. I don't know what it was. I don't know why they weren't emotionally ready. For whatever reason, if you take away that 6-7 minute stretch to start the second half, the teams were neck and neck even the entire game. You have to avoid a stretch like that in game 3.
Yeah, so the Blazers, game 3 tonight against New Orleans. We'll see what they can do. If they can respond with a win, or does New Orleans simply have their number? Jrue Holiday's going to play like a maniac, and Anthony Davis continued to dominate along with playoff Rondo. There's a lot that's gone on in the NBA playoffs. Utah got a win last night against OKC, and our good friend Fran Fraschilla, one of the nicest people I've met in media, like national media members.
Fran Fraschilla is awesome.
He missed an interview with us at the Moda Center last year. He came up to us profusely apologizing and said, any other time, I'm so, like, he came up to us and said, sorry. He didn't need to do that.
We ended up getting him on the show, I think, the next week or something.
We did. He was fantastic. He had a really good tweet that I saw, and I wanted to read it because Donovan Mitchell had a really good game.
He outscored, you see, the playoff totals of the first two games, he's the number one for rookies.
Yeah.
He topped Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he scored 55 points, I think, in his first two games. Mm-hmm. Fran Fraschilla said, after Donovan Mitchell's workout for the Jazz, their GM, Dennis Lindsay, threatened every Jazz scout at the workout with firing if they had leaked out how well the workout went.
Wow.
Fired. You will be fired if you leak this workout.
Well, it worked out well for him.
It sure did.
You got to keep that stuff in-house, man. He has changed the trajectory of that franchise. You lose a superstar and you land a guy. What pick was he?
13.
13. So you land a guy like that middle, close to middle of the first round.
Verify that, or text please can help.
You just you don't catch a break like that very often, where you see the end of a star era in Hayward who just walks away in free agency. They went through the same thing Portland did when LaMarcus left. You don't get anything in return, and then you land Donovan Mitchell, and it changes everything.
He was Tell me how Detroit feels today. They picked Luke Kennard.
Oh no.
Yep. Malik Monk went to the Hornets.
Luke Kennard.
Can you imagine the Hornets with Donovan Mitchell and Kemba Walker? Good luck getting stops there. The Dallas Mavericks chose Dennis Smith Jr., who had an okay year, wasn't great. The Knicks going, what is it, that Frank? I always call him Nicotina.
Oh, what is his last name? Yeah, the French guy.
Yeah, the French kid. They chose him with the 8th pick as a point guard.
Andre Nicotina is an underrated rapper.
He is. I like the Kings pick of De'Aaron Fox. I think he'll be a good player. And Lakers obviously went Lonzo Ball at number 2. But yeah, he fell all the way to 13 to them, and they get a road win.
That was a shocker to me last night. I'm not going to lie. Mitchell was banged up.
People didn't know if he'd play.
It was a game time decision. We talked about it on the show, I think, at the end yesterday. He said, I'm going to give it a chance. We'll see if it works. And then I saw the stat because I was flipping back and forth watching some other Stanley Cup and the Giants game and then the NBA playoffs. And I believe the stat was Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony went a combined, was it 0 for 14, 0 for 15, something along those lines in the fourth quarter. Woof. Hard to win playoff games when your three stars do that in crunch time.
Yeah, well, another series you got going on is Miami and Philadelphia as they head down to Miami as Dwayne Wade ran the Sixers out of the gym in game 2. They tied the series at 1-1. I actually picked Miami in this series.
Yes, you did.
Probably going to be wrong because Philadelphia is supremely talented.
Well, they're getting Embiid back hopefully at some point. Doesn't sound like tonight, though.
Well, did you see the report? If he takes a major blow to his face, his doctors are concerned he legitimately will have eye problems in his left eye the rest of his career.
Oh, you got to
like vision problems. So there's a reason Philadelphia is babying him.
That guy just can't catch a break.
No, and he's amazing to watch. But Ben Simmons and company head to Miami. And, you know, Colin comes on before us. And I'm always interested sometimes in how he views certain players. And he has this thing where he says Ben Simmons is the only player in the league that gets him to want to wake up and watch. Or he's the only player that he cares about. And that's an interesting thought to me. Because I really like Ben Simmons. I think he's a fantastic talent. And can be next level if he works on some aspects of his game. But like this love for Ben Simmons, man, it's going through the roof.
It's gone to another level. I don't know if I'm quite willing to go. He's more entertaining than LeBron. Because
he's like on LeBron KD level for people right
did
now.
Did people watch LeBron James last night?
Yeah,
did you see that he outscored another team by himself in the first quarter?
He basically won. I mean, without him, they
won that game by himself.
Yeah.
Let's pump the brakes just a tad. It's been fun to watch him this year. I think he's the next wave of superstar in this league. The comparisons are understandable because of the style that he plays. He's not a great outside shooter, but he's a phenomenal passer. He understands the game and all that kind of stuff. It is fun to have a young team that is kind of cool to watch him win. And I'm there with Philly. You know, their fans went through a lot. But we'll eventually get to the point of arguing, was it a smart strategy or not, depending on what this core for the Sixers can accomplish. Because if you're pro-tank, that's the team you're going to watch and want to point to if they end up winning an NBA championship. But I think it would be fun to see a team like that go on a bit of a run. Embiid will be back at some point in the playoffs. And if they can find their way into an Eastern Conference final situation against whether it's Toronto or Cleveland, or I don't know how the matchups would break down in the second and third round, I think people are rooting for them. Like, we had a poll question today, just what team in the East are you pulling for? And Philly was the overwhelming vote getter. Just a fresh face, young team, guys
that play to watch. There's no
doubt of enthusiasm. But I'm with you on Ben Simmons. I don't know if he's quite to that superstar status. He feels like he's being anointed a tad early.
Yeah, and he's an amazing player. He may win Rookie of the Year, but let's just a little bit wait, like 2 years. You know, they may get to the Eastern Conference Finals. They may lose this first round series against Miami.
They could. They lose tonight. I mean, they split at home. Now they're going to Miami for game 3.
If you're going talent, I think Philly's got the better roster. But Eric Spoelstra and some of the veterans on that team, you can't overlook parts of that. And that's what playoff basketball is about. So the NBA playoffs continue. Game 3 for San Antonio and Golden State in San Antonio. And Greg Popovich is not going to be there for an unfortunate news that came out yesterday. LeBron James was asked about the death of his wife. How we feel about that? Also, Kevin Durant was as well. 55305 is the fan text line. We'll get into that, and then we'll get into the NFL as one analyst says this quarterback coming into the NFL, way ahead of where Peyton Manning was coming into the NFL.
Bring those hot takes.
Those are next on The Fan. Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah, I'm going to get into Greg Popovich here if this doesn't completely derail the segment, but I just saw this, and I feel like I should pass it along as a responsible radio host to you sports fans out there.
Okay.
So the NFL schedule release has been a big deal.
It's coming out, what, 5 o'clock tonight, I believe? Yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to leak a little bit. I'm actually kind of excited because I'm trying to plan a trip in like September, October, where I can go down to the Bay.
You want to see a Niner game down there?
Go see a Jimmy G game, maybe Oregon State playing Stanford the same weekend. That'd be kind of cool.
Ooh, nice little trip.
Get their ass kicked, but you know what? It'd be cool nonetheless. And schedule release is a big deal for a lot of people. I care and I don't care about it.
I mainly look at the primetime games.
Well, and that's where I'm going. There is a leak coming out from a lot of different publications right now. You want to talk about the relationship between football and ESPN. Boy, I think it's about as frosty as it's ever been because their first Monday Night Football game may be the New York Jets at Detroit Lions. That might be their first Monday Night Football game.
Catch the fever.
Now, I know ESPN normally does that doubleheader thing, don't they?
That they do.
Yeah, they usually get two. So they'll get an East Coast game and then a West Coast game.
But if those two teams are playing, that means it's the first game, and you'll probably have Niners, game, Seahoaks, Chargers, you know, and Rams. You know, so there'll be West Coast teams.
Yeah, it's usually like
the
then
half.
Raiders, Chargers right. is the second game or something.
And the Niners have been on it a couple of times. So yeah, that's
well. You got the Eagles. The Eagles game will be the Thursday. Whoever they end up playing, I can't remember if it's been announced. Oh yeah, it's a. Aren't they playing?
Isn't it Minnesota? Isn't
I think
just
so.
A rematch of the
yeah,
NFC
it was a rematch.
Game?
So that's the first one.
Kirkers goes in there and rips their hearts out on night one. I like
well,
it.
But let me. You
and
know,
then the Sunday night game's gonna get something yeah. huge billing.
See,
it's probably the Patriots.
Look at those two networks and those games they're getting. This has got to be sending huge red flags to ESPN that that's the game.
Yeah.
A little bit. The one thing I will contend with, Thursday night's always a big one because it's the opening night of the NFL season. So I think no matter what the network is, you're not going to schedule. Like, let's say ESPN had the rights to Thursday night football. You're not going to schedule Jets and Lions for that game.
But what I would counter with that, because I remember tracking this, because 2 years ago, we did a segment on Thursday night football sucking.
Yes.
And the average score was like 2 touchdown differences. They just weren't good games. And I don't like Thursday night football particularly. It's not, you know, I think there's just too much. But if you looked at the schedule last year versus Monday night football, Thursday had better games. They had
I'll
better matchups.
That.
They had better games. Monday night football, ESPN and the NFL are not on good terms right now.
No, they're not.
And a game like that, if I'm ESPN, is just like, really? We're supposed to get people excited for Jets at Lions.
Oh, people are going to watch it, though. They will. And the argument that they would use for an excitement value is one of them, I believe the first Monday night game of last year was Minnesota and New Orleans. Now, you can argue New Orleans carries some weight, but what did both those teams have in common? They weren't in the playoffs the year before. So if you want an entertainment value, that's what you would use. Say, well, last year we kicked off the season with Vikings and Saints. Neither of them were playoff teams. Sam Bradford was quarterbacking Minnesota, yes. And the Saints were pretty bad the year before, filled with all these rookies. Nobody was expecting much from them. So there wasn't a ton of buzz around that game, and look where those two teams ended up.
Can Drew Brees and that offense give you intrigue, though?
A little bit, yeah, but could you say that about Stafford and Detroit? Not to the same level, but...
I don't know, man.
I think you
said
that about
Stafford. I mean, you probably could, but...
So that's where I'll try and sell the game, is you have Stafford, who's at least an exciting quarterback who can't win big games when he needs to, and the Jets could potentially have...
The Jets weren't bad last year. They were coached up pretty well.
Insert rookie quarterback here.
That's
potentially
right.
Starting his first game on Monday Night Football.
Whoever, yeah.
Whoever they end up taking in the draft.
Yeah. So, I guess that's a fair point. That's a good point. It could be a good game, and those could be two playoff teams. But
right.
I think if you were to ask me right now on, what, April 19th?
Yeah, there's...
No, thanks.
Not a lot of buzz. And that's the funny part, because you're going to see it tonight when the schedule comes out, is everybody will argue who has the easiest schedule, which primetime game is the best. And you always have to take it with a grain of salt. Remember the fact that what's the turnover factor in the NFL playoffs every year? There's like always four or five,
like half, almost
six
half.
New teams that
last
make the playoffs.
There were six new teams.
Six, right? So half of the playoffs didn't make it the year before. So we always analyze these big Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Well, I know Sunday night they flex in later in the year, but you always analyze them based on the perception of last season, and that doesn't always end up coming to fruition.
Yeah.
The Eagles, if the Eagles were scheduled on a Monday night game last year, at this point in the calendar year,
I would have
year,
gotten pumped.
Okay, but some NFL fans probably wouldn't have. You had Carson Wentz, sure, but nobody was expecting them to win the Super Bowl.
I guess the thing with Stafford and the Lions, he can be fun to watch. He can also be very frustrating to watch because you know how talented he is. But you're selling me with the Eagles, you're selling me Wentz. Year two with Wentz. Who is Carson Wentz? I didn't get to watch a whole lot of Wentz. Let's see year two.
You just said Wentz a lot.
I did say Wentz a lot. Whereas I see Jets and Lions, and I tend to wince a different way. Like, ooh, not excited about that one.
Not. What if I give you Josh Rosen starting for the New York Jets?
You've got me.
Okay.
I'll change my tune. And if that game, we'll tease the day before the day of that game. I will say, you know what? I made fun of that in April. Now they have Rosen. He's going to start. Yeah, you got me. Him being on the road in Detroit or in New York, wherever the hell that game is being played, I'm interested. I'm not going to catch the whole game because I think those games start at 4. I never get
home
by
4. Yeah, the first one's always an early one.
But I will watch most, if not all, of the second half of that one.
Yeah, one of the teams that got screwed over that it's been leaked out is Jacksonville's losing a big home game to London.
Yeah, and I can see why Jags fans are pretty frustrated.
Is it Philly? Who are they playing in that game?
The international one, I'll look
it
up.
Yeah, because it was like a game where their fans are finally excited.
It might have been Philly.
I think their fans are finally excited about their team, and that was when you're hoping you get a good home date, you know, in like November.
Well, their season tickets
go
went
to
up.
London.
Their season ticket prices went up, and you lose a home game in that situation.
Right.
And they just rebranded their uni, so now they have the all-black helmet with the Jag logo. They actually look really nice.
Yeah, finally got rid of the Technicolor helmet they needed to.
Yeah, they made a good choice there. So I can understand why people are frustrated by that. That's what the London game can do to a fan base. By the way, a listener is saying Florio of Pro Football Talk is saying it's Eagles-Falcons, not
Yeah,
Vikings.
That just popped up report out of the Eagles reporter for Philly.com.
That's a pretty good opening
night game. That's a good
game.
That's a good Thursday game.
In Philly, those fans are going to be nuts.
Yeah, Super Bowl night.
Raising the banner and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Eagles-Jaguars from Wembley Stadium, October 28th.
That's frustrating, especially if you bought season tickets thinking, oh, we're going to have the Eagles because you saw your opponents.
Right, right. That's the tough part, too, is because we always, it feels like, send London the crappy games.
That's a really good game to send.
that could end up being a huge game
Screw
in late October.
Screw you, NFL, for doing that.
The London games aren't that bad this year. Seahawks-Raiders first, Titans and Chargers. And Eagles, Jaguars, three consecutive weeks in October.
Why do I feel like Titans, Chargers is going to be 6-3 and the Chargers are going to find a way to lose that game?
Mariota will have 97 passing yards and the Chargers will miss a field goal in the final 30 seconds to tie the game.
You'll be half awake. You'll be like, what's going on here? This is not good football. Yeah, okay. Well, we derailed the LeBron interview segment. Maybe we'll get to that. He was asked about Greg Popovich's wife and her passing.
I don't know why people were so offended by that. I don't get it.
Well, they asked LeBron, and LeBron kind of okayed it, so doesn't that make it okay?
Yeah, Allie LaForce was a sideline reporter. She went up to him and whispered in his ear, like, hey, Popovich's wife passed away. Is it okay if I ask you about this? And he basically gave her the clearance and said, sure.
I think he wanted to wish him well on TV, and that's a cool thing.
Wanted to send his thoughts and prayers, and Yeah, people were thinking that, you know, TNT was trying to capitalize for ratings. And that. It's a basketball community. Popovich is probably the most recognizable coach in the league.
That
He's been around forever.
Isn't changing your ratings. That's
no,
such a
it's,
dumb thing
it's,
to say.
It's ridiculous. And when you just watch the way everybody responds, it sums up why it was a topic. I mean, Popovich is beloved around the NBA, and everybody just wanted to send their thoughts and prayers to him.
Yeah. All right, we got a loaded second hour, a lot to get to. Piff. The Magic Dragon's going to be in studio. He's a magician-comedian combo. People in the office are talking about this a little bit. I was walking the hallways.
What could go wrong?
So much. He'll be in studio at 1:30. Alabama's introducing something in high school football that should worry some here in the state of Oregon. At least it concerns me, and I don't even have a high school child. So we'll pass that along at crunch time. But coming up next, an analyst resurfaces and says, this draft quarterback coming into the NFL, way better than Peyton Manning when he came into the NFL. Why is nobody else thinking this? That's next, Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.